Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and I'm delighted to have with us today J.D. Messenger, author of 11 Days in May. Hello, J.D.
Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
Great. J.D., I have a really amusing connection to the title of your book.
Oh.
You may laugh. You may know that my first book is Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection. And as so many of us are aware, coincidences and synchronicity show us more about who we are, where we came from, and the importance of our relationships, so we can finally see how we are connected to each other and all of life's layers of energy. Some see coincidences only as messengers or guidance from a higher universal life force or a need to pay attention to people or situations brought into their lives. I see them as both, and also a way to realize we each have a unique life plan, specifically created for and also by us. We need to start to see and feel and know this guidance before it passes us by. So when I saw the title of your book, I just smiled because my mom's birthday is May 11th, and the usual message she sends me from Spirit is three doves. But as you may know, loved ones in spirit can capture attention in many ways, as today's discussion about your two near-death experiences and your resulting spiritual transformation will hopefully help others understand. So please, J.D., tell us something about your life and work before your near-death experiences, who you were and how you were living your life.
Yeah, no, thanks. That's the appropriate beginning. I'll give you the thumbnail sketch. I grew up on Long Island, Huntington, and I started life as a fireman, a volunteer fireman. I did that for a couple of years. I enlisted in the Navy to go to the Naval Academy because I couldn't get a nomination from a congressman or senator. And by enlisted in the Navy, I got one from the Secretary of the Navy 8 months later. Went to the Naval Academy, and I graduated and became a nuclear submarine officer, so I served on three submarines during the Cold War. I had a bad accident, which comes back to sort of what I call my wake-up call. In 1985, I broke my neck. I got hit by a beam, and it crushed the vertebrae in my neck. And, of course, that healed. I left the Navy. I decided that I couldn't push the button to launch 150 nuclear warheads and destroy everyone and everything I knew, and that was sort of like a major turning point. And it was sort of a very sad moment, but I left the Navy. I joined Exxon. I did very well there. I managed all kinds of national programs, including national safety, and was the supervisor of the Valdez oil spill. I always thought it was an interesting coincidence that Mr. Hazelwood was from my hometown, and here I was, the guy cleaning it up, and from Huntington. And I left Exxon and joined Ernst & Young, became a partner, one of the four global energy partners. I traveled around the world putting in information systems and doing merger integrations and leading outsourcing and strategy and innovation. And again, I did very well.
Well, I'm going to say, J.D., I think it was because you had discipline and you were a hard worker and you were willing to learn. And were you at that time doing all these different amazing things, inclined to delve into the ideas of creation, cosmic energy, and how both our physical and spiritual realms are both important?
Well,
were you thinking about any of that at that time?
No, I was not. But I never told this story before 11 Days came out. The reason I volunteered to supervise the oil spill was because I had a dream and I saw it happen. And I didn't know what it was at the time. And then when the real ship crashed on the rocks, I felt guilty. And so I wrote position papers for three presidents on the future of energy, and I led programs for prime ministers, and I have four world first inventions to my name. And, you know, I wasn't aware consciously that I was actually doing, I was actually tapping in and receiving information and guidance from, you know, the other side of the veil.
It sounds a lot like me. For many years, I was doing wonderful things and having success and enjoying life. And I was following clues, but I wasn't aware that I was following messages or clues or following a divine plan. So tell us a little bit about the accident the second time.
What happened was I got promoted to be the CEO of Ernst & Young, and in January of 2000, my neck had been deteriorating, and I was in a lot of pain, and I ignored it. And on the morning of January 18th, I put my arms in the air to stretch, and the last little pop broke my neck. Mm. It twisted my spinal column around, and I died. I left my body. I observed my body collapse like a rag doll getting unplugged, and you know, the part of me that was just pure energy, no thoughts, no feeling, no pain, no body, I went through a tunnel. It was like Jodie Foster in that movie Contact. It was like a child swimming down a water park tube, twisting and turning and flying, and beautiful colors and sparks and everything. And you know, during the, now I wasn't aware of that at the time. I mean, you know, it came back to me because my physical body was getting tubes put in, and they took bone out of my neck, out of my hip to put my neck together. And, you know, my neck was crushed and my nerves in my cheek and down my arms. And, you know, so I only started to become aware of this after learning how to walk and talk and chew gum again. I started to have a lot of very, what people would call strange and unusual metaphysical experiences.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, you said in the book you were living the high life you had always been striving for. But what happened now? What did you know?
Well, the first thing that happened was I was very depressed. I was physically a wreck, and my children, who were 3, 6, and 9, came in, told me about, you know, their trips to Beijing. We were in Singapore. That's where the surgery was. That's where I was the CEO. So they told me about their trips to Beijing and their trips to Australia, and I didn't go. I was too busy working, you know, living to work. And I got very depressed. I began to wonder, why was I so successful but so unhappy? And the first real shock came when I said 3 silent prayers to God. The first one was, why did you do this to me? And within 3 minutes, my door handle jiggled, and my 3-year-old son came in and said, Daddy, you work too hard.
You got the answer right away.
And then the next day I said, what am I supposed to do? And jiggle, jiggle, door opens, 3-year-old comes in and says, Daddy, you need to play. And now the left brain nuclear engineer, 12 years of physics, biology, reactor kinetics, metallurgy, thermodynamics, underwater acoustics, you know, so much left brain, I walked with a port list. And so the third day I said, oh, I work too hard, God. I need to play. What kind of answer is that? And jiggle, jiggle, door opens, Grant comes in and he says,
is your son's name Greg?
What's that?
Is your son's name Greg?
Grant.
Oh, Grant.
So he's bouncing on his toes and singing around me, and he's going, remember, 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 remember. Well, I was like, oh, great, that's a real clear answer. But, you know, it took me 5 years to realize that that was the most profound wisdom. Remember who I am, remember where I came from,
remember our inner essence, our soul, our eternal self, and why we're here. And we're here to remember that, just that. But your son had not forgotten that yet. That's why he was saying to you, remember. But you know, JD, in your book, you give such a clear and concise description of how you believe the beginning of life presented itself and how physical life evolved and manifested and brought us to the conditions that we now find our world in, which many of us know, seem filled with confusion and loss of trust and honesty and integrity. And so many people not remembering or using their intuitive spiritual gifts and not feeling this connection to universal energy. So I want to ask you, can you tell us a little bit about how we manifest it from source, that progress of our developing society. Because I just loved the whole way you described the beginning and how we're coming along.
The book was written in 11 days in May of 2012, and I had no idea what I wrote. You know, it was automatic writing, channeling, call what you want. I don't consider myself the author. And yes, Messenger is my birth name. Everyone asks me that. And the book is 11 days in May is 36 parables. So what was written in day one was what I wrote. And I saw, I call it writing on the wall, or the WOW, the wow effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the funny story people get a chuckle is after I was done writing it, you know, there was no plan, there was no strategy, there was no structure. This, it was like journaling to me.
Yes, what came to you to share from this higher dimension of life and eternal life. But let me just say a few of the things that were there.
I wanted to come back to the preface, but go ahead.
Okay. I love this so much, and I want to give people a feeling for who we are, where we come from, and how we have evolved. So I have pretty much written it down. So Source was the cosmic energy in a silent void in no place and no time. And Source created matter. Physical matter became life force, and species were created. Now there were creatures in the place in no time, and silence was over. And the creatures gained intelligence, knowledge, and wisdom. And they also had a love for the land, air, water, and each other. And Source, or the divine, was very pleased. Then time and beliefs were formed, followed by weapons and money. Occasionally the creatures disagreed, yet resources were plentiful and the creatures were few. But the creatures multiplied and required an agricultural revolution to supply more. As the few became more and more disagreements arose. Now there were many, and we needed an industrial revolution which provided industries and institutions. The wise were challenged by a powerful few and lost influence, and resources became scarce. So the powerful few became corrupt, and moral laws were violated, and the powerful were blinded by the sense-filled pleasures. So when wants outweighed needs, resources were squandered and life force was abused and trust destroyed. The spirit was deadened and darkness expanded and the imbalance reached a tipping point. Love of money and toys superseded love of cosmic gifts and life force accountability and responsibility were destroyed. Grand illusions were perpetrated to sustain the artificial environment, and chaos developed and abounded. And then the legions of knowledgeable seedlings became messengers of source, bearers of light to restore the balance. And that's where we are today. And that's what you and I are here talking about today, how this spiritual revolution after the industrial revolution has got to resolve the conflict between man and source, or mind and soul. We've got to remember, like your son said, the true reasons for a physical life in our world, not to sustain ourselves, but to be unified and to be one. And that takes us into what you talk about electrical impulses or photons of light, and how many of the famous inventors and writers have dreams or intuition or are downloading information, spiritual information, to advance humanity. So can you tell us something about the essence of all communication, which is electrical impulses or photons of life, and where it comes from?
Sure. First of all, I'm very honored. Thank you for, you've obviously read the book and got the message, so I'm very grateful.
Well, it's the message I've been giving through every show. It is the theme of this show, to bring this higher consciousness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything is energy, which is photons, which is light. And our existence is not a duality between that what we see and don't see. It is a non-duality. This life, in the book, it describes we live in this box, which we think of as a world of form. And in this box, we think that we're here to compete and it's survival of the fittest, and it's you against me, and death is the end, and God and angels don't exist. But that's not true. We actually, this box, it exists within the world of light, the world of energy, photons, light, and we are a light being, and we came from the light, and we returned to the light, and we're here to learn lessons, peace, love, gratitude, generosity, to have fun, to follow our heart and make our dreams come true and to build relationships. And this has all been destroyed because thoughts are electromagnetic signals. Our brain is like a transducer and receiver on my submarine. It's sending and receiving information. And you and I are surrounded by all of the emails, all of the radio waves, all the television shows. But we use our intentions and our motivations, set the filters that allow us to either receive or block information. It's like on the submarine, we would have filters to block the snapping shrimp and singing whales when we were chasing a Russian sub. You know, we only want to hear the target. So because our brain is this transducer and receiver of information, when we ask, we receive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's as simple as that. Now, the important point about there's a big difference between intentions and motivations. Let's say there's a teacher and a parent, and they both have the intentions for the child to learn. But the parent's intention is to learn, but from the motivation of love. Whereas in today's environment, the motivation of the teacher is to have no child left behind. So out of fear, they're cheating and giving them the grades. And what we know scientifically now is that the energy from the heart, the field of the energy from the heart is 5,000 times bigger, and the magnitude of energy is 50 times stronger. What I'm trying to say is these things that we've been singing about and reading about from all the masters and all the philosophers is really scientifically proven that this energy from the heart is not only more powerful, but it is an attractive force. Love, you know, we're talking about a more agape love, not a more love.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a great magnetic force, and it is a powerful force. And so when we set our motivation from our heart, we create a greater field of energy and can manifest and attract and create more beautiful, loving things.
Absolutely. And you wrote in the book, it goes with this, what you share with me and I with you, that means all of our thoughts, human and divine, are flying about together carrying information and knowledge. And the implication is that people are a collective thought-sharing machine, and God and man are not separate and distinct beings at all, but connected by thoughts and photons of light. Now, JT, I'm a Reiki master teacher and practitioner and a medium, and I often suggest that the way I receive information as a medium from this informational dimension, where all soul or spiritual energy is and where we go when we depart this life, where our energy goes when it leaves a physical life, is where time and space do not exist, but past, present, and future are happening simultaneously. It's the thought of quantum physics. But I believe you mentioned in the book you also were attuned to Reiki. Did it help you? Did you use that kind of therapy when you had to heal after your severe injury?
Yes, I mean, you know, I, like you, had a lot of psychic experiences, seeing visions of future events, which convinced me that time is not linear, it wraps around,
mm-hmm.
receiving inspirations from beyond the collective consciousness to create world first, and it made me wonder, where is the source of ideas and inventions? But I also was in a lot of physical pain and healing. So when I was in Asia, the doctor said, we're not putting anything in your body that wasn't there when it was born. So there was no screws and plates in my neck. There was no cadaver bone. And that's very important because I was with a healer just last night at a dinner party explaining how she was trying to help this one person heal. And everything was physically fine, but the part of the body that wasn't from her body was not cooperating with her body. It was being rejected. So, yeah, I became a Reiki healer and an energy healer and hypnosis and all that. But here's the powerful thing, you see. All of these healers, I was doing Reiki and acupuncture and Chinese tea and herbal medicine, no Western medicine and pills after the surgery. I mean, obviously, I had morphine and anesthesia during the surgery, but after 4 years, my vertebrae, which was solid bone from C5, 6, and 7, one of my vertebrae returned. It regenerated. And when healers were working on me on the table, I was having visions of stem cells. They were restructuring and reprogramming my stem cells, and it restored my neck.
It may have not happened in a moment, but it was a continuous process, and you were sending out the right messages, and you were with the right people. And that wasn't a coincidence either. That was by a divine plan for you. But let's talk about pain and suffering, and the way these emotions and reactions of the physical body often lead us to make changes in our life. So you actually mentioned that the source of suffering is an attachment that the mind clings to, and it's like a mental virus. And as we are gatherers of information of all kinds from energy, that makes really good sense. But what is pain then? Suffering is attaching your mind and overthinking and constantly being inclined to go down one road without perhaps tapping into your soul or destiny or plan.
Well, you know, people get words confused all the time, and part of 11 Days in May is helping you break down things to its essence, to its root, to its core. And we talked about intentions and motivations. People don't grasp that. It's a very important thing to grasp, and the same is true with pain and suffering. Pain is the result of injuring a physical body, but the pain recovers far quicker because our body heals. Suffering is totally different. Suffering is an option. Suffering is a choice. Suffering is when your head is saying go left and your heart is saying go right, and you get ripped in half. Now, your heart is trying to get you to follow your soul path, your purpose for being here, to play and do what you love and love what you do. But the head is saying life is a destination stop called retirement. Money makes you happy. Who you are is what you do, your job. Your head is saying, you know, I want more short-term gratification. You know, I want more sex. I want more pleasure. I want more toys.
Mm-hmm.
And that rips us apart. So these are what you just described that's in the book. Those are attachments.
Right.
And they're thought forms.
And they're also patterns from our childhood and limiting fears that may have been programmed into us, which
our
mind is playing. It might be from a previous life also.
Well, it could be from a previous life, but it's also from the social environment where, you know, we're destroying ourselves. You know,
absolutely.
We're perpetuating guns, wars, sex, abuse. You know, I mean, look at what our politicians and corporate leaders. I mean, open up any page of the paper, and it's not about promoting unity or what binds us or solving problems. It's arguments about, you know, keeping Obama from doing this or you know, move on from doing that or free. I mean, it's all destructive. It's all, and this is what was in the preface.
Yeah, J.D., it's painful for people like us who are figuring this all out and being guided from above to help others figure it out. And what you're just talking about now was what you also said in the book about there being two groups or major viewpoints. The first group tears down the beliefs of others and live in a limited world. And this idea is so hardwired into their cells, they believe in separation and only see the world of form, which is the physical life and all those motivations you just talked about, which are destroying us. And then the second group is you and I and others listening to this show today who believe in everyone and everything and know that this separation is an illusion because we're really all part of one another, and we all come from the same energy dimension where we will return. If we're not already there and experiencing this life through thought, while we're already there. But the problem is then, how do we help the people who are in the first group, who have no idea how they're harming themselves and causing their suffering and causing suffering for their children and perpetuating an illusion that is not healthy and not wise?
Well, that's a wonderful question. The first thing we have to do is not try to attack them
No.
or fight them or give resistance, because it gives energy to the opposite. What the first thing we have to do is, you know, the axioms and beliefs in every major holy book and master or philosopher, we have to accept who they are. We have to listen to who they are. We need to be compassionate, tolerant, patient, and understanding. But we can do that in a way where we can share some simple things, like take somebody who's very left-brained like me. When I say separation is an illusion and their eyes gloss over, I can say, well, hold on a second. Do you believe that you are air, water, and minerals, and you're alive? Yeah. So do you think that it's possible that the air and water and minerals that's outside you is also alive, since that's life? Another question might be, do you believe or know that we are 99.99% the same DNA? Oh, yeah, I heard that. Did you know that we're 98% the same air, water, and minerals? Do you realize that we are less than 1 in 1 billion parts biologically, physically different? This is what I mean by we are one. You and
yes.
I am you. The only thing that makes us different are the thoughts that we think we're different.
That's it. It's only the thoughts or perceptions. But the key is we must live our example, doing the right thing and sharing the right information and right thoughts. And then we're really all going to get into that space where we are one, and we'll take care of each other, and the world will survive and become a wonderful place. So I want to thank you, J.D. Messenger, for the thoughtful, creative, and insightful way you shared the story of your interactions with spirit, life, and death. Learning through the process and sharing what is perhaps the greatest truth of all, that we are each the eternal spark of creation, and our soul needs outweigh the trials and tribulations of our physical life journey. For more information and to purchase 11 Days in May, go to www.jdmessenger.com. In summarizing today's show of Healing From Within, we have talked about the world of form and the world of formlessness or light, the road to understanding our true nature as spiritual beings having a physical life, and the ways and means to see the challenges now evolving in our world as stepping stones to the expanding universal world of light, information, and growth. J.D., I want to share a comment from a friend of yours, Helena, who wrote your response to one of your stories and offered you validation and confirmation, as many of our friends and family often do, but sometimes we block them from this confirmation. She wrote, "What we have here is a near-death experience where we can be saved. An angel might even save you. Someday you might ask yourself why. Second, you have confirmation from multiple sources over many years that you were saved. I believe there was a swimming accident you had where you were saved. And third, you experienced going through the gateway, and you have confirmation of past life experiences. What is it going to take to convince you that death is not the end? God holding a sign in your face?" And Carl Jung wrote after his near-death experience, and we all know he's the father of modern-day psychology, "What happens after death is so unspeakably glorious that our imaginations and feelings do not suffice to form even an approximate conception of it." I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and welcome you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, WebTalkRadio.com, and DreamVision7Radio.com, to hear messages of hope, healing, and love from leaders in the field of science, medicine, religion, philosophy, spirituality, psychology, and the arts for continued advancement of a unified and enlightened world.